And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's good, everybody? Holiday week, NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by our good friends over at Skip. Nick, hope you had a Merry Christmas, man. How you been?
I did. You as well, the official food delivery app of the NHL. I'll tell you, we have our delivery of the week coming up later on. Jake Walman delivering the gritty for the Red Wings. What'd you make of that with Sidney Crosby a meter away, Pete?
It's funny. Anna actually randomly picked that guy because he's been having a nice shot volume. He's like the third or fourth defenseman on the Red Wings, and he delivers an overtime goal to cap a four-goal deficit comeback. 5-4 win for the Red Wings. They still haven't gotten Jacob Vrana back. They're rolling some nice punches on defense, man, right? Like Olli Maatta, Mo Sider. Kronik plays with Walman, so that's a little wrinkle there that you could look at. But yeah, I mean, this is the time of year to package up those holiday gifts and make some waiver wire moves. I love the people asking us questions over the three-day holiday break, like about buy low trades and different pickups. People are staying active out there.
Yeah, it definitely shows my age. I thought Gritty was the Philadelphia Flyers mascot, but you're so right. Like Detroit needed that victory so damn bad. And your guy, Michael Rasmussen, again, picking up a point. So he continues that. Dylan Larkin contract, you're doing his thing. But in general, Detroit's been fluttering defensively. It's been a story for the last little while. I just don't know what it is with the Pittsburgh Penguins. They go on massive winning streak, massive losing streaks, but certainly something to monitor, Pete, over the next couple of weeks here.
Definitely. And this is going to be the time of year as we approach the halfway mark where we're going to see like our teams like the Red Wings, our teams like the Ottawa Senators going to improve over the course of time and make a push for the playoffs. Senators, big win in the shootout over the Boston Bruins coming off the holiday break, right? Like different teams coming off the little hiatus, a little more lethargic than others, but the Senators took advantage the other day and they're starting to get their guys back healthy. Stützle came back before the break. Josh Norris on the horizon a little bit. So again, it's one of those teams that we haven't seen peak quite yet. If it happens in the third quarter of the season, let's say, they could be in business here.
It's funny. I don't know about you. You look at the Eastern Conference standings and already we're starting to see that separation. Even a team like Buffalo misses 10 days. They're like 10 points out of a playoff spot. So for me, there's essentially nine teams for eight playoff spots, at least right now. And one of those teams is going to be the Washington Capitals, in my opinion, have been red hot lately. Darcy Kuemper picks up the shutout. But I want to talk John Carlson injury replacements. And that leads me to Erik Gustafsson, Pete. We talked about him a couple weeks ago. A five-game point streak, 5 goals, 4 assists, 9 points, 1 power play point. I think if you want to look externally for replacements, Jared Spurgeon has 5 points in his last 6. Shane Gostisbehere, who could become a trade candidate for Arizona, has 10 points in his last 11. And Alex Romanoff, quietly of the New York Islanders, has been red hot lately in terms of category coverage. A 3-game point streak, 1 goal and 4 points. And how about a +7 over the last 3 for Romanoff?
Right. And I heard Romanoff had Christmas dinner with Shesterkin and Sorokin. How about that? I mean, just to get your confidence up a little bit. I mean, he's been playing well all year with the peripherals, now starting to score a little bit. I like that pickup. But yeah, Erik Gustafsson, I can't help but think, remember back in 2018-19, Erik Gustafsson with the Blackhawks and the elite exposure to Kane and DeBrincat and players like that, he had 60 points. So he has quite a pedigree. Right? 90% of the defensemen out there in the league have not hit 60 points at any point in their career. So yeah, with Carlson out, all of a sudden Gustafsson's up to 19 points in 36 games. He had the hat trick, right? Like about a week ago or so. So, I mean, that guy's in business. I watched him the other night against the Rangers. The Rangers got absolutely lit up by the Capitals. The Capitals look like a playoff team right now.
He's a very underrated passer, too. And I think, to your point, they have the luxury in Washington of losing John Carlson, not really skipping a beat, at least on the power play, right? If there's one thing that Erik Gustafsson can do is run a power play. And I know the number's not really there during this 5-game point streak, 1 power play point, but just pass it to that number 8 guy. I think you'll be okay. Not to mention the boost that Washington's about to get in the next couple of weeks with Tom Wilson, maybe even Nick Backstrom. Suddenly we go from a month ago, Pete, where I didn't think there was any chance that Washington is making the playoffs. Now, all of a sudden, it seems like a foregone conclusion a bit.
Yeah, I didn't pick them to make the playoffs this year. So, and they didn't look like they were going to make it early, but now they've overcome those injuries and they're going to get back You know, we don't know what Backstrom is at this point in his career. Is he the third line center behind Kuznetsov and Strom? He may very well be, and first power play. But Tom Wilson, to me, like when this guy comes back from that point to the rest of the season, it's not even a bold prediction to say he's going to be a top 50 overall fantasy player, because he is time and time again with the strong hits coverage and the goal scoring and exposure to all the elite talent on Washington. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Tom Wilson's fantasy impact. And there are just so many other guys out there that are nearing returns from injury, right? We even saw a little glimmer of Max Pacioretty practicing the other day. That's another category coverage guy. You could go out there and trade for either of those guys, Wilson or Patches, and hit a home run fantasy-wise once they come back.
It's an eager time of year. Anthony Duclair would throw into that conversation as well with the Florida Panthers. Little Birdie tells me as well, Nathan McKinnon could return as soon as Saturday. That boosts everybody and their mother for the Colorado Avalanche. You know, we talked about it like 2 weeks ago. It was like doom and gloom time for the Avs. They're going to make the playoffs. Well, all they've done is rifle off a 6-3-1 record. So I think ultimately there's tons of benefiters from the return of Nathan McKinnon, who's an absolute freak, was on pace for his first career 100-point season. Lehkonen, Rantanen, Makar, Georgiev. Like, I think the Avalanche are going to take off, and I would not be shocked if they, in short order, they take over Dallas or first in the Central Division here.
Yeah, they probably will. And there are more guys coming back from in. I know Nichushkin is out now again. People are wondering how long that's going to be. They said day to day, but also kind of like an out indefinitely thing. So you might have to stash him on IR plus and look elsewhere on the roster. JT Compher is a guy that we've talked about on the show. He's playing monster minutes ever since McKinnon went down and could still be the number two center when everybody comes back into full force. And then also, right, since we last talked, Evan Rodriguez last week had a 7-shot game. So those are guys we'll keep preaching to the choir that these guys are worth something fantasy-wise or in shot props and stuff like that. But yeah, and then there are other guys like around the league that could come back from injury very soon. Morgan Riley's another one from your neck of the woods, Nick, right? He's coming back on Thursday, it sounds like.
Yeah, and his presence, Pete, will be felt on the power play. In 15 games since he went out, Toronto 8-47 on the power play, which is not good considering where they usually are, you know, when Riley is healthy. So I think I look for a bump there. Ultimately, that means bad things and negative impact for Rasmus Sandin, who's been banged up anyway. But to think Toronto's done all this damage, Pete, they've lost 3 regulation games since November 1st, and Morgan Riley has missed 15 of them, and they haven't skipped a beat. It just shows you, you know, the job Sheldon Keefe has done. I think if you want to look at some futures for the Jack Adams Trophy this year, I think he deserves a lot of credit for what he's done there.
Yeah, he's creeping into the conversation for sure. We'll see if they can, you know, cast off the Demons and beat the Coyotes after they lost to them earlier in the season. That's their opponent for Thursday. It'll be a trap game as usual. The Coyotes are playing well. Nick Schmaltz is back in that must roster conversation. You mentioned Shane Gostisbehere earlier. The only thing negative about the Coyotes right now is that Michelli is out for 6 weeks. So unfortunately, one of the most surprising rookies in the whole league is probably droppable at this point, at least until he comes back.
I wanted to go back to the Nick Schmaltz conversation. I'm happy you brought him up. I got him in bold, italic, anything you want font wise, imploring people to pick this guy up. Pete, I can't believe Nick Schmaltz is 21% owned. Maybe I can because he's on Arizona, but December alone, 13 games, 4 goals, 12 points, 5 power play points, 22 shots on goal. His body of work over 18 this season, 7 goals, 9 assists. You look back at his numbers last year, 23-63, 59 points, which tells us he's pretty much the same player as he was last season. And I just think you look at the production, I don't know how more people haven't caught on yet, Pete.
Yeah, it's a couple of things. First, it's the Coyotes. They don't have any allure fantasy-wise just because of their track record in recent years. But the bottom line this year, Nick, is that they have 6 to 10 players that are fantasy relevant. Even if you take away Michelli, like I talked about earlier with his injury, there's Lawson Crouse, there's Chychrun, there's Keller, there's Schmaltz, right? There's Gostisbehere. The list goes on. They've had a lot of sneaky fantasy producers this season. So buy into the Coyotes fantasy or betting-wise. Vemelka is viable whenever he gets the start. He's been very efficient given the circumstances in his career the past 2 years. And then, yeah, I mean, I just think in general, I think a lot of people out there, you know, in a little bit of a food coma after the holidays, a little bit, maybe they're not as active, but certainly this is the time of year where you could find a lot of good things on the waiver wire, from those Coyotes to other guys returning from injury. One other one I wanted to mention, sounds like Andre Palat from the groin injury practiced on Tuesday, and he's nearing a return as well. And I think the Devils could use him.
Oh, definitely. Maybe that's the addition the Devils need to spark them again, because again, they've been, you know, sputtering as of late, as expected. We all thought they were a regression candidate, and certainly there's going to be some turbulence along the way. I still do think they're going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs, but I tell you, we just talked about the Eastern Conference. I don't think the Islanders are going anywhere. Clearly Pittsburgh isn't, Washington isn't. So one of those teams could be out, and that means, you know, a team like the Devils could be fighting for a playoff spot, certainly. So it'll be intriguing on that front. The other team I wanted to bring up was the Vancouver Canucks. Ilya Mikheyev, you want to talk about offseason pickups. I know he's banged up to start the year, but you want to tap into anything right now, Pete, revolving around Bo Horvat. We'll get to him in mere moments, but you look at Mikheyev with Horvat and Besser, his last four games, 3 goals, 6 points. Tuesday night against San Jose was a feeding frenzy, dude. 1 goal, 3 assists, and 4 points. I would pick up Ilya Mikheyev right now.
Right. And Horvat, you were talking about him maybe being on the trade block, and I mentioned it about a month ago. Like, I don't know that his ceiling is higher anywhere else than it is in Vancouver. And what better proof of that? Back-to-back 4-point game, so 8 points in his past two. He's up to 39 points in 34 games this season with 14 on the power play. I mean, this guy is the complete package right now.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem with Vancouver, is like they go through these stretches where they look like they have the best offense in the league. And then at that point, like, management's probably like, wait, we can't tear this down just yet, right? That's the problem with this team. They're Jekyll and Hyde. They're really not that good because of their defensive issues, but their offense is really can hang with anybody in the entire league.
I think the word you're looking for is pretenders. I live in Canada. I tell you on a weekly basis, man, it's like they're buyers, they're sellers, they're buyers, they're sellers. In the last month alone, like, 4 different names have emerged as trade candidates, and you know what's been leaked to the media, but I digress. I think we're on the same wavelength, because I have written in my notes, Bo Horvat ceiling. I think as a fantasy owner, now is the perfect time to trade this guy. I just don't know a destination out there where he's going to provide as much value as he is right now. I think logically, on a contender, at best, he's maybe a second line center, where on the Canucks, he's their 1C, right? So I think if you can get fair value and good return in a trade, I think you'd do it for Bo Horvat, would you?
Yeah, definitely. And another guy maybe who's a sell high candidate, it's nothing against him and the way he's been playing, but you just see his usage already starting to change before Freddie Anderson even comes back. Antti Raanta got the start the other night. A lot of people were in the DMs upset about it, with the little cursing emoji saying, what are they doing? But then Raanta had a shutout. It was funny. It was like 4 or 5 people were telling me, why is Raanta playing? And then he got a shutout. It's like the Hurricanes have 3 great goalie options. And even without Freddie Anderson, it seems like he's been nearing a return for a while, but it still hasn't come back. Raanta is like not that far off from Kochetkov. So what do you do with Pyotr Kochetkov at this point? I think the sell high window, at least in a 1-year league, is still open right now.
Pete, this is why I posed the question last week about Alex Nedeljkovic. Is this a goalie or a victim of the system? And I think it's somewhere in between on Kochetkov. Personally, I think I'm waiting. I think knowing the track record and resume of Frederik Andersen, the guy's always hurt. I love the guy, but he's always hurt. And it's a story with many goaltenders around this league. So who's to say that a month from now, if and when he does come back, he's not going to get banged up again. So I'm probably holding, because I still think the majority of fantasy owners see the name Kochetkov, are not very, very familiar. They're not going to give up what you expect for a guy like this right now. So I'd stand pat on Kochetkov right now.
No, good stuff. I mean, the only concern is that when Freddie is healthy, I mean, last year he was really like not only a top 5 goalie in fantasy, he was maybe even like number 2 or number 3. 35, 14, and 3, 922 save percentage and 4 shutouts, and did miss the last couple of weeks of the season too. So he was really like at a Vezina level last season. The problem is he hasn't played very much since. So it's one of those things where like you're going to get the quality out of Kochetkov. You just might get a fraction of the starts from now until the rest of the season, and that could be a problem. But if he hits at the right time for them in the playoffs, I really like their chances.
Me too. Not to mention Freddie Anderson in a contract year. So if you know what I'm saying, yep. he is going to show up at some point in time. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Orlov or Gustafson, one of the questions of many we got via Instagram this week. We already answered the Kochetkov one, so we won't get to that one. Orlov or Gustafson's a pretty simple one for now. I think it's quite clear who's emerged with the Capitals, as we just talked about, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, maybe for the entire rest of the season, if you're erring on the side of category coverage and, you know, just stability in general when healthy, it's kind of like Gustafson has taken the Gostisbehere route in his career, where he's just way up, way down, totally irrelevant, then comes back as an injury replacement, that type of thing. So, you know, in terms of consistency, Orlov's a little bit better. Category coverage, Orlov's a little bit better. But you always go for that boom or bust potential whenever you could find it on defense. Like if you could pick somebody up and he could be, even for the next 3 or 4 weeks, maybe be a top 15 defenseman, you know, in the rankings, then you take that chance every time. So I agree. I would go Gustafson.
Yeah, Gustafson's a perfect example of a stopgap guy. He'll provide for you for like a 2-3 week span and go away. And that's what he does. I think he's made a career of it, to your point. Nick writes in, fantastic name, by the way. Need a goalie, Anderson, Hart, or Lindgren? And that piggybacks off the question I had for you on today's show. What do Lindgren owners do, as somebody who owns Lindgren, specifically with Darcy Kemper coming back? Do you think he's earned more starts here for the Capitals?
Yeah, I think he's a 1B, but a very good one at that. And, you know, Kemper deals with injuries a lot, unfortunately for him, through his career. So I think it's a viable third or fourth goalie option from a team that has stabilized and is still going to get even stronger, right? You can't help but watch that game against the Rangers the other night, and you're like, they don't even have their full team, and they're going to get them back soon. So maybe, like Michael Leboff was saying in the preseason, maybe there's something to that, that the championship window in the midst of this Gretzky chase for Ovechkin, maybe it's still open. Seems like it.
Yeah, Leboff's called some crazy things. It has to be among them. Granted, it's an 82-game slate. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, but certainly Washington, they're riding the momentum of Alex Ovechkin. The goaltending's been strong, and the offense has been really good, despite the injuries, right? Backstrom and Wilson, the big two that have been out. Oshie's missed significant time, and they haven't skipped a beat. I'd mentioned Dylan Strome's been a really, really stealth addition for that team. I love this question quite a bit because it's World Junior time. Where is Connor Bedard getting drafted in fantasy next year? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but could he be the highest ranked rookie going into next season that you've had, say, in the last 5 years, Pete?
Definitely in the last 5 years, probably since McDavid, and maybe even higher than that, you know, based on the hype and stuff like that. I mean, McDavid, I think when he may have been like, what was he like, between 50 and 75 overall?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Usually these guys are outside the top 100, but I would expect Connor Bedard, fresh off a 7-point game against Germany. I know those guys up there had a little blip on the radar against the Czechs in the first game, but an 11-goal output for the team and him bouncing back. I mean, I think this is a little different. We get in the process of anointing these guys, right? Shane Wright. How many times did we say projected number one pick Shane Wright? He ended up going down to fourth. I think this is a little bit different. This is a enormous high caliber player, probably a talent that we haven't seen coming up the pipeline since McDavid.
Yeah, this dude's filthy. I still remember the time a couple of years back where in my keeper league, I jumped and took Connor McDavid in the first round. You just have to. And I just think you look at the pedigree, the track record, the resume, the presence. Connor Bedard, another Connor. Watch out for this guy in fantasy hockey next season. Another question we got, should I keep Bratt? We mentioned the Devils as a regression candidate. Some of their guys have been struggling, more so to the fact that they're not producing the way they did in, say, the first 2 months. But again, this was expected. I think I'm holding on Brad, Pete.
Hold on him in most leagues, but if you're in a shallow league, you might have to think about cutting the cord. I agree. These guys can turn it around in a hurry. Remember one guy that comes to mind earlier this year? Remember when Jordan Kyrou was like minus 20 and had barely any goals, but he's part of such an elite offense in St. Louis, and now he's bounced back. Jordan Kyrou has been one of the best players when healthy over the past month of the season. And now he's back up, better than a point per game at this point with 33 and 32 games. So things can change very quickly for these guys. And I wouldn't get too down on the Devils right now, because as long as all those guys are healthy, I think they'll make the adjustments and put it back together in a matter of time.
So another question we got was Vitek Vanacek. I know personally I've got some people tweeting at me too about Vanacek, what to do. I think the same type of conversation, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there is some interest in Mackenzie Blackwood since he's come back from injury.
Yeah,
he's 5-3 on the season. He lost a close game to the Bruins the other day, but beat the Florida Panthers after coming back. I guess beating the Florida Panthers isn't that great these days, but everybody seems to be doing it. But yeah, I think Mackenzie Blackwood, like if he's healthy, he could cut into Vanacek's time a little bit. That's a big if, but he's still only 26. So just something to not get too high on Vanacek just because there is that other guy fighting for an opportunity on his team.
I was laughing the other day. A buddy texted me Merry Christmas. He also texted me, I saw your question about the Florida Panthers. The problem is he is on the Florida Panthers. Are the Panthers making the playoffs? I just laughed. I said, hey, more times than not, I pose questions on social media. Take it for what it is. Are the Panthers making the playoffs? Because again, they're banged up. And I sense a lot of frustrations as well with Aaron Ekblad owners right now.
Yes, there was somebody asking the other day, they were saying, I'm going to pick up Gostisbehere. Should I drop Aaron Ekblad for him? And then now after Riley coming back and Sandin still out, the guy was like, you know, I'm going to drop Sandin instead just because Ekblad is always so good on that per game basis. But
yeah,
now another injury banged up, right, for Ekblad. Barkov has been limited this season, hasn't played since December 17th. Sounds like he could come back very soon, but the clock is ticking on that team, man. I hope that they could stay relevant through at least the All-Star break for their own franchise's sake. But I think that, you know, this is a very competitive Eastern Conference. And you saw, like you said, with Buffalo, like they haven't even done anything wrong and they're falling out of contention just because they've had a couple of games postponed, a couple games here or there. And they just have not been able to find any consistency in winning, you know, three or more games this season.
Pete, you know who's happy about this? The Montreal Canadiens. They might have not one but two shots at Connor Bedard. Ben Chiarot, the trade last year. Florida continues to lose games. As far as I know, it's not lottery protected. And of course, the Habs have really, really struggled as of late. You look across the board, Kirby Dach, Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield. It seems like at the right time, they're starting to lose some games, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we'll see what some of these teams are going to do down the stretch, because the opportunity to get a player of that ilk is, you know, too good to pass up, right? Like,
yeah.
Even in the NFL, the Jets the other day, they could have lost one or two more games that one year to get Trevor Lawrence. Now Trevor Lawrence looks like the next elite great quarterback, and they're sitting there looking for a quarterback of their own. So, you know, from sport to sport, sometimes for a generational talent is what I'm saying, it's maybe worth it to lose an extra couple of games.
I don't mind that quite a bit. And certainly the Florida Panthers need to get cooking here. I think there is a bit of buy low appeal, but I'm just kind of worried. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting for those this Florida team. And Pete, next thing you know, we're going to be down in Sunrise at All-Star Weekend. And I think the questions certainly will be raised in that market if this continues for this Panthers team.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, a couple other topics that people are wondering about. Kent Johnson, number one center, any interest? Atu Ratu, the guy who scored a goal in his NHL debut for the Islanders. Also, Alex Iafallo has been pretty productive this year, came back from injury recently and has been scoring left and right. And the Kings are playing well with Phoenix Copley. So any of those names jump out to me, like Iafallo is a guy, regardless of lineup placement, has had some nice coverage in recent years, and I'm very interested in him.
Yeah, I like that. I like Ratu quite a bit. The Islanders in general have been a pleasant story this season. I think showing last year was an anomaly. I think there was a lot of question marks. Has their window fallen? Well, it hasn't. I think Brock Nelson, by the way, is another guy. I think last time I checked, around 75% owned. Why is my question? I know I wake up on a daily basis asking myself just why in general, but why is Brock Nelson just 75% owned? It's crazy. It's ludicrous in my opinion. And I think there's just so much value to be found. And certainly, from the Iafallo front, the Kings story has been crazy, because in my wildest dreams, I could never have expected Phoenix Copley, with all due respect to Phoenix Copley, former backup of the Washington Capitals, to go on this type of run and pretty much supersede Jonathan Quick and Cal Peterson here.
Yep, he's saved their season, no doubt about it. And yeah, the Kings have the 14th highest scoring offense. The Islanders have the 11th highest scoring offense. I mean, that is a great impact of the coaching change right there. They're a better team on the ice. Sorokin's still just as good as he's ever been. And now the offense is clicking at a higher gear than it has really in over the entire Trotz era, right? The last time they were scoring goals like this was when they had, you know, that crazy season with Doug Wade and they weren't playing any defense, but they were scoring, you know, 3+ goals a game. So the Islanders offense is dynamic right now, no doubt.
Dude, I feel so old sometimes. Jason Blake's kid's playing in the World Junior, by the way. But Pete, I got a big time question for you on today's show. Are you ready?
I'm ready, man. Always born ready.
Who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week? It's time for the delivery of the week brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
I'm going with Jordan Kyrou, man. I mean, this guy had a breakout season last year. I was just talking about him. Goals in 4 straight, including a hat trick and a 4-point game. He's had a crazy high shot volume, so get all over him in the shot props. 5, 5, 6, 4, 5 in his past 5 games. Ridiculous stuff. And when you look back at the entire season, the entire year 2022 at large, he's really one of the breakout talents and kind of, you know, is a part of a changing of the guard for the Blues offense compared to the usual names like O'Reilly and Tarasenko.
Pete, we're vibing again today. I had Kyrou. I'm going to pivot, but I just want to mention a 5-game point streak, 7 goals, 4 assists, 11 points. He's been a monster. And we told you to exercise patience earlier in the year, and he's paying off and showing off right now for his fantasy owners. But I'll go with Erik Gustafsson. We mentioned him earlier on, a 5-game point streak, 5 goals, 4 assists, 9 points. Of course, filling in for John Carlson, who got banged up in a big-time way last week for the Capitals. So Kyrou and Gustafsson. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Also, hit us up with a reply. Who delivered the most for you in fantasy hockey this week, Pete? Well, we know who delivered for you now.
Gustafsson's a great pick and must add across the board. You know, no question about it. So, again, check out the waiver wire list. I know this show today is kind of a mashup of everything because we're only doing one this week. But looking forward to getting back into the mix next week. We'll have show on Tuesday instead of Monday because of the new year. Reminder to everybody, check out the Winter Classic between the Bruins and the Penguins. Great Eastern Conference playoff battle, a potential playoff preview. The Green Monster will be there. We'll all be watching on TNT at 2 p.m. What are you most excited about for this Winter Classic, Nick?
I just love the scene and seeing the scene outdoors. As somebody who enjoyed watching the New York Yankees as a kid, it's always interesting and nostalgic to see the Boston Red Sox play in their stadium. It's not going to be the Red Sox this time. It's going to be the Bees. But still, I think the setting is going to be fantastic with the Green Monster in sight.
It's the second, Bruins Winter Classic at home. So, great showcase for the city. Also wanted to tell people we'll have Anna on the show on Tuesday, but go out and check out. She did a great teaser travel blog for the NHL Winter Classic. It's on her social handle. So go and check that out. She did a really nice job with that.
She did. Ray Bourque's restaurant. I believe it's called Tresca. Ray Bourque was one of my idols growing up, Pete.
Yeah, we got to get up there next after Sunrise, Florida, sometime in the coming years. But again, we'll talk to you all next week. Again, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you on the other side. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Talk to you next time.